Says in this week's parasha, Parshas Vayechi, Perek Memtes Pasuk Aleph, Vayikra Yaakov El Bonov Vayomer. Yaakov calls his sons over and he says to them, Hey Osvu V'agid Alachem, gather together and I will tell you, Es Asher Yikra Eschem B'achris Hayomim. I'm going to reveal to you everything that will happen b'achris hayom in the end of days. He wanted to be megala the Ketz HaMashiach. And without looking in the pasuk, if you were knowledgeable in Lashon HaKodesh, and I were to ask you, how would you spell the word asher yikra eschem b'achris hayom, the word yikra? What will happen to you, b'achris hayamim, I think you would say it's spelled with a hey at the end. Kara, kuf resh hey, means to happen. Mikra means by chance something happened with a hey. But strangely and notably, the pasuk says, Asher Yikra Eschem B'achris Hayamim, Yikra is with an Aleph. Yaakovinu is calling over his sons and he's telling them that I will tell you what will be Kairi to you B'achris Hayamim. Kairi means what will call to you, like a Kriya. There are things that will call out to you B'achris Hayamim. And I saw in the Mefarshim a beautiful idea that it's telling us a very big yisayid, this word. We think that in life there's something called mikra. There's something called chance, happenstance. It just happened to happen this way. It was a coincidence. Didn't really have any rhyme or reason. But in truth, everything is from Hashem. Not only is it from Hashem, but it's actually calling you. Everything that's happening to you in life is hardly random. It's hardly happenstance. It's a calling to you. It's a divine calling to action, telling you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects something from us. The word mikra itself is really the letters of Rachma Hashem. There's no such thing as coincidence. Everything is only from Hashem. As much as we think that things just happen, but that's not the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, is Mashkiach Prati over everything in the world, and everything is a message to us. It's a calling to us. It's a divine reaching out and saying, I expect something from you. This is an incident that happened that will, if you listen to it well, will raise you, will be mala you, will give you purpose. I'm here with you and I'm calling out to you and there's expectations of you. Amalek was the Yisayid Hara and is the Yisayid Hara in the world. Asher karcha baderech, that's a lashon of mikra. Amalek, Haman, Rishayim, they like to make us believe that there are things that just happen randomly. It's all mikra. It just happened to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzavas, timcha zecher Amalek. That is not a Jewish concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says everything in life, everything that happens, for good and for bad, is all a calling from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to move us, to shake us, to inspire us, to change us. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainis says that the reason that when bad things happen, we're supposed to fast, we're supposed to be gathered and make a tzayim, make a tainis, a fast day with tshuva, is because when bad things happen, it's important to recognize that they are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't, says the Rambam, if you don't learn from bad stuff and we don't try to improve ourselves, then what's inevitably going to happen is we're going to get worse and worse. Our situation will spiral downward because we failed to learn the lessons. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to ratchet up the tzar, Rachman al-Itzlan, lo'aleinu. And so he says that if you believe that things are mikra, if you think, nah, this isn't a bad thing that happened, it's not a divine act of God, it just happens to be that it doesn't rain, it's a natural occurrence, it's global warming, it's something that did, it's not, don't take any message from it. The Rambam says this is midas achzarius, this is something that's actually cruelty because you're causing yourself and the rest of Klal Yisrael to suffer more because we're not waking up to the message that this is not mikra, this is not im halachtim imikari, this is not a, it didn't just happen. We can't be casual with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and assume that everything just happened to be this way. But we have to understand that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us these signals. Sometimes they're good, and you have to respond to that with halal, with haidah. Sometimes things are bad, and you have to also respond to that. That's also from Hashem. But there's no such thing as a coincidence or an accident or randomness. These are things that don't exist in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. But sometimes we have to look very carefully and examine very well the incidents that happen, because being human means that we don't look at things as being messages. We automatically, very often, just assume them to be random. Rav Hirsch, Rav Shamshavel Hirsch, says a beautiful yisayid, the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, where it says, Vayikra el Moshe, and he called to Moshe, and there's a very small aleph there, an aleph ze'ira. Vayikra is with a teeny aleph. Says Rav Hirsch that it's coming to teach you that min astam, regularly, without special glasses, we think that everything is mikra. There's no such thing as calling. Hashem's not calling me. It's an accident. It just happened to be. This happens and that happens and things happen in life. But you need to look at the aleph very carefully, because stam you think it's a hey. But HaKadosh Baruch says, look at the aleph, put on your reading glasses, take out your microscope, take out your magnifying glass, and look and make sure to examine and to realize that it's an aleph. It's a kriya with an aleph. It's a kriya that I'm calling out to you. It's not random. It's not a mistake. It didn't just happen. And there's so many ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us messages. I want to just explore three ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us messages and how things are not mikra, but things are actually on purpose. The first thing is globally. History. You look at world history, you look at Jewish history, and you could look at it from one of two ways. You could either look at it from the Gaiusha historian's perspective. This happened because of that. World War I broke out because of, you know, 6-7 reasons. World War II broke out as a result of World War, you know, and there's Rashi Tavis to remember these things. And you have Vietnam, and you'll study everything, and it's all mikra, it's all mamish, just it happened to be this, and it happened to be that, and you know, this Archduke Ferdinand just happened to be assassinated, which was the powder keg that blew up World War I, and that caused World War II, and the whole world is just, it just happened to be that way. And every little step of the way, from the beginning of time till today, just random events that just happened to happen, and because of that, you know, there are ramifications, wars caused to migrations, and migrations cause different cultures, and cultures are, and we can make a whole tirade of history, and that's what historians do. They make It's a science of just studying the way that history came about and the evolution of history. You know, Mendel Kaplan, who was a great Talmud Chacham, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. I think he learned b'chavrusa of the Rabbi Chanan. He learned by, and then he became a Rebbe in Skokie. He became a Rebbe in Philadelphia. A very wise, deep, profound man. When he came to Skokie, it was sort of, he was off the boat. I don't know how he got the job. He didn't speak a word of English. He was teaching American boys, including some later on famous boys, including young, who would develop into very chashuva people. One of them was a barrel wine. He tells a lot of stories about his Rebbe, Mendel Kaplan. And Beryl Wine, who is a noted Jewish historian, he said that, like the first days in the shir of Rav Mendel and Skokie, it wasn't working. Like there was a huge generational gap, communication gap between them, and they didn't get him, he didn't get them, and you know they weren't like interested, they didn't understand his language so well, he was speaking a very broken English, and it wasn't going well at all. And one day, all this changed. What happened? Remendel Kaplan brought in a Chicago newspaper. I don't know if it was the Chicago Tribune or another Chicago, let's call it the Chicago Tribune. And he brings it down. It was like a little bit interesting for the boys that this Chashiva Rosh Shiva was bringing in a newspaper into a class. And he said like this, he said, if you boys teach me how to read English, I will teach you how to read a newspaper. What does that mean? You teach me English so I can read the language and I could speak the language properly. And then I'm going to teach you something in return. I'm going to teach you how to learn up a newspaper. Because the news, current events, history is not a random thing. Everything that you look at, every story in the paper, every single day, whatever is happening, is replete with messages and with mussar and with hadracha and with hashkacha. Everything. You need eyes for it. Obviously, you know, if you're just opening a New York Times, it might not jump out at you. What exactly is the point of this happening? Why did one thing happen? What caused it? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan? But if you have the eyes of Das Torah, if you have the eyes of that with a mind soaked with Torah, and you're able to study history and see it all in the proper context and see it as an ever opening scroll of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his plans with humanity and with Klal Yisrael specifically, everything would make sense. We don't understand it. We're living in a very dark time. We don't understand how one thing leads to another thing and why, how different little incidents, flare-ups in the Middle East happen and what but they're all for a certain tachlis. Everything is for, of course, for Klal Yisrael, for the Torah. Whether it was, you know, everything that happened in history. We could start from Maaseh Bereishis and go to Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yetzias Mitzrayim. When we were in Sheba Mitzrayim, we didn't know like what the end game was. All of a sudden, there was a Geula. There was a Geula, and then from the Geula came Matan Torah, and Klal Yisrael were developing as a nation, and now we could look back in retrospect and see that everything was not mikra, but it was all a kriya, it was all a calling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling us. And then we went into Eretz Yisrael, and we built the Beis HaMikdash, and then we brought Karbanis, and we had ups and downs, and the Nevi'im, and the Malachim, and then we had Golos, and we're in a long, seemingly endless Golos, but every single step of the way, whether it's the pogroms and the inquisitions, the Holocaust, the Hakamas HaMedina, every single step of the way, there's a Yad Hashem that plays itself out. You just have to see it with a certain lens of Das Torah. You have to understand that nothing is mikra. on a daily basis, you know, we see things and we don't understand them, but Mendel Kaplan taught these boys, I don't know how he did it, but he taught these young men how to understand what's going on in the world, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans are at every step, at every juncture, and it produced a barrel of wine to be able to have this ability to read history, to see it as a kriya, and not to see it just as a mikra. That's the difference between a real Torah historian versus a general historian. General historians, they're not in the business of trying to see God's master plan. They just want to understand the events and see what led to them and what was the aftermath and, you know, and how, you know, how that propelled other events. But a Torah hashkafa would want to see the entire Megillah of world civilization through the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's also a much more personal takeaway about Mikra. And that's really a very important thing that we have to know about in our lives. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, one of the most beautiful of arts, he says like this, the Pasuk says by Bezalel, Re'eh karasi b'shem, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur l'mate Yehuda. He says that I called out by a name. I invited Bezalel. I called. I gave him a calling. And the question that Ramesh asks is, where do we find this? We don't find that in Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke directly to Bezalel and said, I want you to be the architect of the Mishkan. What does it mean, Re'e Karasi B'Shem? Ramesh says, look at the end of the Pasuk. Va'amalayisai b'chachma uve'etzo v'svuna. I filled you with all types of knowledge. I filled you with a talent. Bezalel was a highly creative, a highly talented person, a brilliant young man. He was bar mitzvah according to Chazal. So bar mitzvah bachar. And he was able to be filled with all types of spirit and all types of innate talent to be able to build. Like the Ramban says, these are not people that went to trade school. These are people that would build in Mitzrayim, B'chaymer V'Levenim. They built grubba stones, buildings out of rocks. They took slabs of cement and they put them on a rock and they pushed it into a wall. That was their training. And then suddenly they were able to build these magnificent golden cave. And where did they get the training? Did they go to school for this? They went to college to understand how to make filigree, how to make the finest gold and silver and copper and tapestries. Where did they learn this from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them this ability. Re'e karasi b'shem, I called you. When did I call you? I didn't call you, hey, Bezalel. I gave you a divine calling. You know what the calling was? The calling was the talent that I gave you. I gave you talents. And those talents are your calling. If you want to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, look at what you could do and build upon them. Understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this talent. He didn't give it to other people. He might have given it to some other people. He didn't give it to everybody. That means that that's a message to me that I have a divine calling that I'm supposed to be doing. Bezalel didn't get called in a physical way. Bezalel, I want you to do the Aveda, but he was called. He was called because he was filled with his talent, and he understood that he had to express this talent. If I'm given a talent, I have to use the talent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me, I want you to use it. There's a medrash on the Pasuk in Mishle, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes. Pasuk says, Kabed es Hashem mehaincha. I want you to honor Hashem mehaincha with everything that he granted you. Hain is like with whatever Hashem gave you, you should honor Hashem with. So Rashi explains that what does this mean? If you have a sweet voice, Rashi says, then you should use it to honor him. Sometimes a person has a beautiful voice, and they ask him to go up and daven shachris on Shabbos morning. Daven musaf. No, I don't want to. What do you mean you don't want to? I'm not in the mood. I don't want, you know, what do you mean you're not in the mood? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a beautiful voice. He didn't give it to you for to sing in the shower. He gave it to you to be able to use for his Avedas Hashem. Kavedas Hashem Mahincha. Use your voice for Hashem. There's a scary medrash on this pasuk in Mishlei. It's a Yalkut Shemayni about Navos HaYisraeli. Navos HaYisraeli had a he owned a field, and Achav, the king Achav, the evil king, wanted that field very badly that was owned by this man, Navos. And Navos didn't want to sell it. And the king wanted it very, very badly because it abutted his other fields, and this is like the one piece of the puzzle that he needed. And Navos refused to sell it. He said, it's my Yerusha for my father. I can't sell. It's not for sale. And it was distressing Acha very much. His evil wife, Izebel, saw that it was distressing him, and she basically orchestrated a plan that resulted in Navos being killed. Tragic story. The Yalka digs a little deeper. What did Navos do to deserve to be killed? And the Medrash says that Navos had a beautiful voice. On this pasuk, Altikri Kabedes Hashem Mahincha, Chazal said Altikri Mahincha El Migreincha, he had a beautiful voice. He had a beautiful ability to sing. And normally he would go up to Yerushalayim to be Eila Regel, and he would sing in the Beis HaMikdash beautifully. One year he said, no, I'm not down for going to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going, and even though it's true that I have a nice voice, I'm not in the mood. And because he refused, that's why the evil plan was perpetrated against Navos. And the Yalkut ends, what caused this? Because he refused to go to Yerushalayim to honor Hashem with the talent that Hashem had bestowed upon him. The kriya that we have in our lives is by looking at our talents and figuring out from our talents, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? That's the age-old question, right? We all want to know, why did Hashem put me here? What's my tachlis achayim? That's the $64,000 question. What is the tachlis achayim? Why was I put here? I don't know. I wish that, you know, it would be so nice if we were all born with a little label, you know, somewhere on our body that, you know, doctor, lawyer, Talmud Chacham, businessman, you know, whatever, Magid, something, nothing. We don't, how are we supposed to figure it out? The first thing to do is to look at what are my talents? What are my talents? If my talents are that I have a beautiful voice, I'm not saying this is going to be my parnasa necessarily, it could be, but I should use it to sing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm a good writer, I should write Svarim, I should write articles, Torah, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this talent for. If I'm a good dancer, I should go and be Mesameh Chasan and Kala by a Chasna. I'm a good dancer. Why did he make me a good dancer? Just them? He made me a good dancer because he wants something from me. He's munning something from me. He's expecting me to do something, and this is what it is that I'm expected to do. It's not mikra that you have these talents. It's not mikra. It's a kriya. It's a calling. And not only when it comes to talents, which sometimes we think as like extra credit, but whatever we have in life is a calling. The Chavis HaVavis gives us, in a certain parak of his sefer, in Shaar Bitachin, he speaks about, and this is such an important thing because I think so many of us are plagued by this question when we're in Beis Medrash College, and that is, what career should I go for? How do I choose a career? I don't know, there's so many options. Should I go for computer? Should I go for business? Should I go for real estate? Should I go for medicine, dentistry, architect? What should I do? What should I go for? Should I open a store? Should I be a mechanic? I don't know, there's so many options. What do I do? The Chavis HaBavli speaks about this. Believe it or not, he gives a career planning session, and he tells us very clearly how we could, if not know exactly what we should do, but at least be able to whittle down the choices of what we're supposed to do. And that is by looking at ourselves and our abilities and the way we are built, the tchunas hanefesh that we have, the different talents, the skills, the IQ that we have, the emotional IQ that we have, the ability to commiserate with other people, whatever those specific details that you find in you specifically are, those are messages to you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are it's a kriya to you that this is what I want from you. He gives mashalim. He says that if a person is, let's say, very strong, but he's not so smart. Very, very strong, powerful, he's not so smart. So, you know, that's probably a good sign that you're, it's not a good thing for you to, be an accountant because you're not good with numbers. Not a good idea to be a lawyer because you're not so good with reading, writing, etc. But I could be a very good, I could move things. I could be a schlepper. Maybe I could work for the NFL. I could be a wide receiver or something. I could, there's a lot of things that I could do. I'm able to do a lot, but I know what I should do because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me these specific things that I could do and things that I can't do. So a process of elimination, don't start like sometimes you see a guy and he's like saying, I want to be a doctor, but he can't get through any of the sciences. It's not going. He doesn't do well with the labs. That's a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not for you to be a doctor. You could want to be a whatever you want, but practically speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to be a doctor, he would make you be a whiz at sciences. He's not. So then forget about that. Now focus on what you can do. He says if a person is not strong physically, but he is very, he's very bright, so now he has a whole nother, ability to, he could, be a doctor, be a dentist, be a lawyer, be an accountant, be a, fine. Nothing wrong with anything. It's all good. It's all what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But you have to see everything as being a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is what he wants from me. This is what he wants from me. If a person has a chush for giving over something clearly to other people, he should be going to education, going to chinuch. If a person loves learning and he feels like he's steiging and he could really, be something in learning and he has a geschmack in learning, so then he should maybe stay in Kailal, be a Rebbe, be a Rashiva. But everything that he has is not a mikra. It's not a coincidence that he was given these specific gifts. These are all callings from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what I'm expecting of you. This is what I want from you. And it's a very redemptive concept, because now I have clarity. I don't have to like go through the rest of my life like wondering what should I do, what shouldn't I do. It becomes much clearer. Again, it doesn't tell you specifically what, it leaves a broad, still a broad selection, but at least you have the ability to know what you shouldn't be doing, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not expecting you to do, and to focus on what you can be doing. So between your talents and your skills and your intellect and your physical makeup, your strengths or maybe your weakness physically, and your strength and your weakness intellectually, these are all things. It's not a chisaron in a person. Every person has their role to play in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and it's not in any way a derogatory thing. If a person is not as book smart, a lot of my friends that are gazillionaires, they weren't able to open up a safe or a book at all. They don't know how to read or write or anything. They just happen to have a chush for business. It's not a chisar, and this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. So far we have two examples of the mikra versus with a hey versus with an aleph. History as a whole, nothing is coincidental. Everything is one thing leading to another thing leading to another. You just need the ability to see everything in its proper context. But there is a kriya at every stage. Nothing happened by chance. Everything was on purpose. I read a whole book about during the Holocaust when there was tremendous Hester Panim, but still there were so many, I think it's called the guiding hand of Hashem or something, that, you know, like just one very small example, wasn't small at the time, but Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was some random bombing by Japan of an American naval base in Hawaii and in the Pacific, and for some reason, the Japanese thought it was smart to start up with America. And that got America really angry, and they joined the war. If America had sat out the war, which they were doing until that point, then, you know, who knows what would have been. You know, it's very possible that everything would have been different and that Hitler would have taken over the entire Europe, Eastern Europe and Western Europe, and maybe then Russia, and then come to America. We don't know. But it's only because of this random event called Pearl Harbor, and I put that in air quotes, that, you know, that America came into the war and that saved the world from that random ridiculous act of bombing America. Why did they do that? What were you? Well, my Yitin Lach, my Yosef Lach. Like, what do you? What purpose did that serve you, Japan, to bomb America? You wanted to wake a sleeping giant. That's what happened. They went and they started entering the war, and then, you know, they attacked Normandy, and they came in and they beat back the Nazis, and Bashkachas El Yaina, the world was saved. But there is, so in history, everything is a kriya with an aleph. It's not a mikra. In our personal lives, we have to look at the gifts and the talents that we're given, and they will direct us to our calling. The talents that we have, if you're musical, if you're artistic, if you're, use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow, some way, figure out a way to use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're a good manager, so be a gabbai, start an organization. Whatever the gifts that you have, everybody has certain gifts and certain talents, use them. Use them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Use them to be mefarnes yourself. And finally, there's another very important mikra with an aleph as opposed to mikra with a hey. And that is that very often in life, we have great challenges. We have personal challenges that we're contending with. Everybody has challenges. Everybody. One way or another. Some of it might be physical challenges, might be financial challenges, it might be social challenges, psychological challenges, family challenges. There are so many issues that a person could be challenged and plagued by. And a lot of times we think, this is random. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to me? What was the point in giving me this physical, mental, family issue? Why? It's just random. It just seems like so random. Like, couldn't I just have been given a better, you know, a better situation in life, a better circumstance in life? I want to tell you a story that happened in an airport. And this happens in Maisa B'chol Yaim. It happens all the time. But this is a specific story about a person who came to the airport with his luggage. And I think this happens to everybody. You're allowed, let's say if you're traveling overseas, you're allowed 50 pounds in a bag, right? In a piece of luggage. If you have more than 50 pounds, they charge you like an extra $100, $150. And a person puts his luggage on the bag, and he really wants to just go to Eretz Yisrael. He wants to sit already in the gate area and just relax, learn, go to sleep a little bit. He doesn't want to start being mutzered about his luggage. Of course, it's 52.5 pounds. He was so close at home, the scale sort of said 50 pounds. He thought they'd be mevater. No, very mean guy, you know, on the flight, in the airport, says you have, it's too heavy, you have to take stuff out. says, come on, it's 2.5 pounds. Is that going to bring down the plane? Like, what? Just let me go. Says, nope. He's like, very strict. 50 pounds you have to take out. So he says, he opens up the thing. Everybody's staring at him. Opens up his luggage. He takes out his talus and tefillin. That weighs like 1.5 pounds, let's say. And he says, nope, you still have another, pound you have to get. So he takes out like some underwear, undershirt, a pair of tzitzis, and, a change of socks. And finally, Bekaishi, like he puts this all in his carry-on bag. And Bekaishi Tiri just was able to get it down to 50 pounds. And then he puts it on the plane. He takes this on the plane. He gets to his destination. And what happened was that the luggage got lost. The luggage got lost for days and days. You know, for a few days he didn't have his luggage. And then he looks back and he says, wait a minute, it's okay. I have my talus and tefillin on me. I have a change of underwear. I have a shirt and some socks and whatever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that what was the biggest problem at the time, all those things that were taken, I had to take out, and I was like really upset about it, they are the things that turned out to be the blessing. I would be so upset. I didn't have my tefillin in some random country. I didn't have a change of underwear. It would be like really upsetting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me take out everything that I needed so that I'd be ready and able to go when I arrived and just be functional. And this is how I think we can compare the challenges that we have in our life. That the things that we are plagued by, the things that are the most challenging and the most like bothersome, like why did I have this? Why do I have this issue? Why is this so hard for me? Why is that? Why it seems like everybody else has it so good and I have it hard? And everybody else is this and I'm that. What you have to know, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes experience, and it takes maturity, is that everything that you seemingly don't have are things that you have to take out of yourself, you have to pull them out of your suitcase, you have to deal with them, and as a result, they will serve you very well later in life. Those are things that when you arrive at a later point in your life, you're going to be so happy that Baruch Hashem, you had all those things that you have to contend with because you're going to need them later in life. You might need them because you'll have people in your life that you will have to share that wisdom with, or you will need that wisdom, or you will need that strength and that fortitude. But whatever challenges that you have, it's not a mikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send it to you because He's angry with you, or he chas v'shalom hates you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, and it's not a 5-minute plan, it's a life plan. And if he's sending you something, it's not by chance. It's so that you pull these things out and you have them with you because you're going to need them. I don't want to get into specifics, but like when I was younger, when I was about your age, I had like a few major, at the time it seemed major, and it was major for me at the time, challenges that I had to deal with. Whatever, I'm not getting into specifics. But later on in life, looking back, those challenges that I had all sort of trained me for the position that I have here so that I could help Talmidim when they're having similar challenges, whatever they may be. And these were things that at the time I never would understand. Like, why did Hashem send me these things? But in hindsight, in retrospect, you look back and you say, I understand. It's clear. Like, I needed these things. I needed these things. Otherwise, I would never be able to relate to anybody if I had everything perfect. And it's true for everything in our life, no matter what happens to you in life. And it's sometimes life is very hard. And it's very, very difficult to get through one day after another day. And it's difficult to deal with tsaras and with family people that you don't like or roommates that you're not happy with or shidduchim and girls, it's not going well in the shidduch department. It's not going well in the career department. And it's hard. Life sometimes is really brutal. But you should just know
that these challenges are what will enable you later on in your life to be able to get through swimmingly, to be able to not just get through life, but to really transcend everything and to be able to succeed and to be able to thrive in life, not just survive. You don't see it today, but you're building muscles. These challenges that you have are building emotional muscles, physical muscles, whatever it may be, and it will empower you later in life when you're going to need it. You might need it to deal with a child. You might need it to deal with your wife. You might need it to deal with your friends, with your family, with the community. But you will only know about these things because you were tested. You were battle-tested when you were at a certain stage in your life, and later these will prove invaluable to you. So history is nothing more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine orchestration and calling. Our personal talents and our personal skills and our strengths and maybe sometimes our lack of strengths, they are also things that will be a calling to us. And finally, the challenges that we go through, those difficult moments in life that we are really upset and angry and sad and we don't see any Yeshua, there is a great Yeshua to be had. You just have to give it time. You have to be patient, and you have to understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling me. He wants me to respond in a certain way. If we look at it as a mikra, and Hashem just, you know, forgot about me, and you get into a state of yish, that's the worst thing that a person could do. When a person understands this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with me, He's not going to physically call me, just like He didn't physically call Bezalel, but He sent him messages. That's something that we can all take away. Vayikra Yaakov al Banav. Yaakov calls his sons. The beginning of the parasha of that pasuk, Vayikra, he calls him. And he says, Hey Asu Vagidalchem Asher Yikra Alachem Bakhzayam. Same word, same spelling. Because just like Yaakov calls his sons, Bakhris Hayam, in the days that we're living in, everything is also going to be a kriya to us. It's going to be a calling to each and every one of us. And it's our job to respond to the call. It's our job to respond to the call. You know, I think I said it recently, but it's kedai to repeat that Rav Shimon Schwab went to the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim asked him, Are you a Kayin? He said, No, I'm not a Kayin. He says, why aren't you a Kayin? He says, well, my father wasn't a Kayin. He says, well, why wasn't your father a Kayin? He says, because his father wasn't a Kayin. Why wasn't his? And Rav Schwab was like, okay, we could do this all day. He says, you know that I'm a Kayin, the Chavetz Chaim says. He says, yes, of course, everybody knows you're the Kayin Gadol of the Dar. He says, you know why it is that I am a Kayin and you're not a Kayin? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu, thousands of years ago, called out, Mila Hashem Eli, whoever is to Hashem, come to me, my Shevet, Shevet Levi, including the Kayhanim and the Levium, they answered the call. And your great-great-grandfather, for some reason, did not answer the call. That's why today, thousands of years later, I'm a Kayin and you're not. He says it's going to be sad for you because when the Beis HaMikdash will soon be rebuilt, I'm going to be able to go in, do the Aveda, you're not. All because one Zayda answered the call and one didn't. And he said, Rav Schwab, the Chavetz Chaim said to Rav Schwab, and this is a lesson for you, that whenever you hear the call, make sure to answer it. Make sure to answer the call. Because sometimes, not sometimes, always, when you answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu's call, that's where the bracha lies. That's where the bracha lies. It's very meaningful that on the last day of the Zman that we have a room full, a Beis Medrash full of Talmidim that have answered the call. I don't take it for granted. I know that, you know, a lot of people maybe peeled away already and took off as soon as their last final was over. And I look around the room and I see Malachi Hashem Tzavakes, Malachim Mamish, people that are so committed to yeshiva, so committed to learning, so committed to the ideals and the hashkafa that the yeshiva presents, that you came today, you came this morning, and you joined the yeshiva, you were mitzdarif, you were heyasu v'agidu lachem. It's very meaningful. This itself is a testament that you are able to answer the call. And just like you answered this call, you should be zeicha to answer every call in any way that it comes to you. Any message that you see, follow it. Listen to it. Pick up the call. I want to end with one story that happened there. I was really very reluctant to share it with you. I shared it with Yechidim. I'm going to share it with you, but it smacks a little bit of gaiva on my part, but you'll forgive me, okay? Because it's just something about answering a call. So I'm putting out a book for Art School in Mitzvah Hashem. It's called Great Jewish History. It's actually very Nagei Adishmuz because it's going to spell out the panorama of history from Bria's Olam until today, every major event, a little description of the event, a ton of pictures, and what Gedolei Yisrael said about every event and how it shapes history, how what we're supposed to take from it, finding parallels in history. Yemitz Hashem, it'll be a beautiful sefer. I was trying to get a sponsor for the sefer. I got sponsors for the inside of the sefer, but I needed a cover sponsor, which is, it's a lot of money, and it's not easy to find sponsors, and I tried beyond you know, what was expected. Like, I called every gevir that I know, and his brother, and his cousin, and his nephews, and every door was slammed on me. I could not find anyone to do it. I don't know why. It was just, normally I wasn't able for this book. 2 weeks ago on Erev Shabbos, I was in my office, and I was on the phone with one of my children on my cell phone. And my office phone starts ringing. And I don't pick up the call. I don't answer the call, you know, that type of call, because it's generally people that know me call me on my cell phone. People that, like, find me on the internet, you know, my number on the internet, from Thoreau's website, you know, they call. I just wasn't in the mood. I was talking to one of my children. But for some reason, I said, you know what? I should answer the call. I knew that maybe I'd be speaking about this topic. Answer the call. I answered the call. It was a person, says Rabbi Bamberger. I said, yes. He said, you don't know me. Said, I live in a southern state. I grew up Reform, and no connection to Judaism, nothing. He says, I stumbled upon your podcast, Great Jewish Podcast, which is where I put up all my shiurim, and he says, I just, you know, fell in love, and I just listened to all the shiurim, one after another, and it made a very big impression on me. He says, I want you to know that today, because of your shiurim, says, I keep Shabbos, my family keeps Shabbos, put on tefillin every day, I learn Daf Yomi every day, Mishnah Yomi, Halacha, he learns more than I do. And he just keeps going on and on. It's like, this is crazy. And then he says, at the end, if that wasn't crazy enough, he says, you know, it's the end of the year, and I have a donation to make. I want to give it to a Jewish charity of your choice. I said, you're kidding. I said, do you have any of my books? He said, Rabbi, I have all your books. I said, well, I'm about to come out with a book called Great Jewish History. It's mamish, you know, it's almost about to go to print, and I need a cover sponsor. You know, I asked him how much he had in mind to give. It was like half of what I needed, roughly. I said, if you could, you know, give me, if you could double it maybe, you know, then you could be the cover. He says, let me think about it. Anyway, after Shabbos, he emails me back that he figured out his meiser was mamish within like $1,000 of that amount that I had asked. And He was so nice, so gracious, like he was thanking me for the opportunity as the biggest, and, you know, and he wired it to Arts Girl the next day, and that's the end of the story. You know, somebody told me, you're so hung up with the money part of it that you missed, like, the main point, like you made a whole family from, like the Dardaris. But I think it's an illustration, besides for being like an amazing Hashkacha Pratis story, that it's a mitzvah lefarsim. And I hope that the donor doesn't mind that I'm being mefarsim it. But it's another lesson of answering the call. There are so many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling us. And we look at the phone and we are like, you know, proverbially, I'm going to take a pass. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a signal. He's giving us an opportunity. He's giving us a talent. He's giving us certain strengths. He's sending us clear messages sometimes, what he expects from us, what he wants from us. Sometimes it's a big ask, sometimes a very small ask, but we have to answer the call. And when we do answer the call, Ladar Dairis, just like the Chavetz Chaim told Rav Schwab, in 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, things will be different because you answer the Mila Hashem Elai. When you hear the calling of Mila Hashem Elai, when you hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending you these messages, these unmistakable messages, whatever they may be, it might be on a bumper sticker in the car in front of you, it might be a license plate that you see, you know, a gematria, it might be a phone call, it might be somebody saying something to you. Let's say you give a drasha and somebody says, wow, that was the best drasha I ever heard. Don't just say, that was Hashem telling you this. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending you a message that I want you to use that talent. If you can give a great drasha, then use that talent to be malami Torah to people. Whatever you could do, do it. Use it. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. It wasn't just random. Take inventory. Take stock of what you have inside. What can I do? What am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? What do people enjoy me doing? And use it. And when you answer the call, when you answer the Mila Hashem Elai, that's where the bracha is going to lie. I could have very easily not picked up the phone and things would be very different. But because I picked up the phone when I did, I was able to get the Yeshua that I needed. And that's exactly how it will happen, Amirtz Hashem, to all of us. Whenever we need something, we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond. But it's the messages and the way that we accept them and we act upon them that will give us the ability to be strong in life, to have bitachon, to have emunah, and to be matzliach, ken yirotzin. Have a wonderful, wonderful Ben Azman, Rabbi Yisrael.